And this is an area, I suppose, we read possibly the least of any of our Bible, and yet every now and then, amongst these prophets, we call them minor prophets, we come across a little nugget that I believe we miss the blessing of simply because we're not as familiar with this portion as with many. So Habakkuk chapter 3, we're just going to read the second verse. And there are just three words in it I'd like to leave with you. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid, O Lord. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work. And I believe that's the burden that is on our heart in connection with the coming meetings. I think the entire background of this is that the prophet realized that God's judgment was about to be poured out, his wrath. And he's trembling. He's not as afraid. I heard your speech, and I think if you read the connection, you'll see that that speech was against the prevailing wickedness. And he trembles, and then he cries out, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. We certainly see enough around us today to call forth the judgment of God. But I think our hearts would cry out, as the prophet did long ago, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Revive thy work, Lord. In these closing days, as we draw near the end of the age, and we see wickedness abounding on every hand, as our paper this morning, amongst many other tragic things, reminded us, that it's estimated there are about a million and a half people living together in America who are not married. Now that's enough to bring the judgment of God, for every one of those is living in adultery. I don't care who they are, what they call it. According to my Bible, they are living in adultery if they're living together without being married. You can give it a lot of nice modern names. God calls it fornication and adultery. That's enough to bring the judgment of God on America. But our hearts cry out, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Save a few more souls, Lord. Revive thy work. Now, how's God going to do that? Well, turn to Psalm 85, please. Psalm 85, verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Revive thy work. That's where we begin. How's he going to do it? Revive us. God's work will be revived when we are revived. And I want you to notice what he says, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I believe that the best atmosphere, and I'm speaking from experience, I believe the best atmosphere for the salvation of souls is a happy atmosphere. I've seen it again and again. In those years when we were conducting gospel meetings, I've gone into some assemblies that were as dead and dry as the pew you're sitting on. And they would tell you, I remember going to one, and they told us, there hasn't been anyone saved here for so long that we are just thoroughly discouraged. We just haven't any initiative to even invite people, because nothing has happened here for years. Well, I said, now something's going to happen this time. Not because I'm here at all. But I said, I left a flourishing work in the southern states to come up here to Canada. And I did it because I believe God led me. And I said, God's going to work right here. Now let's get busy. And the Lord's people began to get warmed up and began to get happy. And we saw that building packed night after night. And there were more people in the prayer meeting before the gospel meeting than there used to be in the gospel meeting. And we'd have the prayer meetings packed out before the gospel meeting. Now, anybody can preach in an atmosphere like that. And I tell you, it was grand. The memory of it just thrills my soul. And I hear from some yet. I know one of them is saved for sure. Because he sends me $10 every Christmas. I know I got at least one genuine convert. Just think of that. And that's 30 years ago. Oh, it's more than that. But anyway, I've seen that when God's people get happy. Now we need to be searched. We need to see to it there is no unconfessed sin there. But having done that sincerely before God, then get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes on the Lord. That thy people may rejoice in thee. I've gone to other assemblies, they've done so much confessing that they're way down in the basement. And it took about 2 weeks of preaching to get them up to where they were enjoying the Lord again. They were bemoaning this and bemoaning that, bemoaning the next thing. I said, brethren, let's get up and praise the Lord. And as soon as they did, some began to get saved. Revive us, that thy people may rejoice in thee. But now, go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Just take out of that. Revive me. I believe that this is the way in which God works. Revive thy work. He does that by reviving us. But he revives us by reviving me. God works with individuals. And if every individual is right, then all are right. And if all are right, the work's going to be right. If an individual gets revived, it's just like in the country and the mountains and that. Some of you who know that as well as I do or better, you know how that through the night, there always had to be those few coals nursed through the night, so in the morning you'd have something to start the fire with. And in the morning, if you found just one or two good hot coals, you'd get your fire going. And many a boy in the mountain has learned to nurse up that little hot coal there until it burst into a flame and it caught on the kindling. And then from the kindling you went to the wood, and from the wood you went to the logs, and pretty soon you had a roaring fire going. But you had to have that hot coal to begin. I believe that's the way God works. I believe again and again there's been a hot coal somewhere. I was in a prayer meeting. On these prayer meetings we used to have before our gospel meeting. And one dear brother there was just very honest and outspoken. It was very apparent in our prayer meetings that one brother was really, the Lord had really put him on fire. He was happy in the Lord, he was rejoicing, you could tell by his breath, and his other brother couldn't stand any longer. He said, Lord, brother so-and-so's on fire, let me catch it. Well, that's just it. And with I'm revived, if the individual revived, that's going to be catching. And we'll be revived. And if we're revived, the work will be revived. And souls will be saved. As I said, I believe, as we pray, And I'm so glad that that chorus has started. It was on my heart from the beginning of the meeting. I was going to ask for it before we supper. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I do my part to win that soul to thee. Now, if the individual, I repeat, is right, then we're going to be right. And the work's going to be right. So, brethren, sisters, you and I, as we pray, as we search our hearts, as we confess, if we just all get happy in the Lord. Now, I don't mean this hilarious thing that is just about as empty as a paper bag that's been blown up with wind. I don't mean that. I mean genuine joy in the Lord. I believe that's the atmosphere in which God works. I was talking to some of my friends today, our brother Lyndon Sheridan, who's having meetings over in Burlington for 2 weeks. Remember them. Pray for them. The Lord is blessing there, and the Christians are getting a lot of help. We were talking together, and I was talking with him about a dear old Irish brother I used to listen to when I was first saved. He was just from Ireland. One of the godliest men I've ever met. And a man who just walked in fellowship with the Lord, and he was just bubbling over joy all the time. Not this hilarious thing, but just that real, deep, genuine joy. He was happy when the tears were running down his face. I've seen that dear brother get up in the worship meeting there. He was an elderly gentleman. He had a very closely cropped, full beard. But I've seen that dear man standing there in the worship meeting. I couldn't help but open my eyes and look. And as he stood there with his face raised to heaven, worshiping the Lord, the tears were just saturating his face. And the joy of the Lord was radiating from his face. Now that's a testimony for God. That's the atmosphere when God works. I was thinking of something he said, he had a lot of very homely illustrations on that. Great gospel preacher. But I remember him saying, you know, he said, brethren, sometimes when a doctor has tried all his pills and his medicine, his prescriptions and everything, and it just doesn't seem to work, he'll say to the sick person, where were you born? And they'll tell him. I say, go on back there then, brother. That nothing will do you good but your native air. And he said he goes back to his native air and he gets rejuvenated. Now he said, brethren, that's the way with us. He said, where were we born? We were born under the gospel. It's our native air. And he said, there's nothing else so pick you up as to get some good gospel into your lungs again. And that's true. I'm looking forward to these meetings. Not because it's Stan Board that's come. I respect my brother and admire him and thank God for him, but I'm looking forward to these meetings in a way I haven't looked for meetings for a long time, because I'm hungry for a good time in the gospel. It's just grand when souls are getting saved and you hear again and again the gospel that reached you and saved you. I went to a meeting, here I am taking all your time. I promise you I wouldn't preach long. I'm not preaching, I'm talking. I stopped preaching a while ago. For I know I'll be met in. But I went to meetings up in Canada after God saved me for a whole summer in the tent there. And two brothers preached. And the first one, he was the one who plowed up the ground. And the next one put in the suit. And every night I sat in that tent, and by the time the first brother got through, I knew I wasn't saved at all. I knew I wasn't saved. I'd missed it somewhere along the line. And then the other brother would get up and he'd pour in the oil. He'd preach the gospel. He'd tell you how to be saved. And by the time he got through, I knew I was saved. Now you know the old-fashioned way of setting a post before we had cement to pour in the hole. You dug the hole, you put the post in, you put a little earth in, and you tamped it down. and then you shook the pulse. And then you tamped it down some more, and you shook it some more. Brother, I got shook up for a whole summer there. And by the time that summer was through, I'll tell you, that post has stood for 51 years now. And let's just pray, brethren, and let's praise God. Let's be happy. You know, I found the best thing, if I'm having trouble witnessing to somebody else, I used to try and screw up my courage, you know, and I'm going to say something. I'm going to get it out. And I learned the best way to do that is just get happy in the Lord. And before you know it, you'll be talking before you didn't intend it. After God saved me, I decided, no, I'm going to keep this to myself for a little while and make sure it's real. You know what? Before I knew it, I was blabbing it all over the place. Telling everybody I met. And I believe if we're just happy in the Lord like that, people are not happy today. The rich aren't happy. The poor aren't happy. And the ones that are trying to get rich and are getting poorer all the time, they're not happy either. So we got a wonderful opportunity. If we're just happy in the Lord, those of us who are rich and those of us who are poor and those of us who are trying to be one or the other, if we'll just be happy in the Lord, people say, I'm going to go along to Shen Hill Chapel and find out what makes that fella happy or that woman happy. And we'll see them saved. And we'll rejoice. And we'll thank God for it. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for saving us. Sometimes we look at others so careless, so unconcerned, so worldly, so wicked. And we feel a little discouraged about even speaking to them. Then we remember, Lord, what thou hast done for us. And what thou hast done for others that we know of. And we realize the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we pray, Lord, thou prepare every one of us for that which lies ahead. And may we not miss this golden opportunity. It may be our last, Lord, before thou hast come. Help us then, we pray, to take advantage of it. Now separate us with thy blessing. May thy presence and peace abide with one and all. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.